The first lesson this morning, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is from Joshua, the fifth chapter, beginning with the ninth verse. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month, in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." The psalm this morning is Psalm 32. We will read this together. Happy are those whose transgress is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayers to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You deserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The second lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a former point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. Here ends the lessons.
With me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite any children who are here to come forward for a message with me on the steps. How are you? Shorts.
Yeah.
And saddle shoes.
Yeah, and a bow tie.
And a bow tie. Very neat.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
I loved my saddle shoes when I was your age. I wore them all the time. How's everybody feeling today? Cool. So, were you just listening to that rather long story I just told?
Yeah.
About, who was it about? Two brothers, right? And their dad, right? And the two brothers, were they nice to each other? Oh, no, they weren't. Have any of you ever been not nice to a sibling or to a friend? Yeah,
I have.
You have? Yeah, yeah. I think we all have. We all make messes in our life where we make maybe some bad choices and we don't make the right choice, right?
That's sometimes my friends have been bossy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes our friends are bossy to us.
Yeah, Captain.
So I'm wondering if you could answer this question. Which of the brothers was worthy of the father's love? Was it the young one who took all of his money and ran and spent it, but then he came back? Or was it the brother who stayed the whole time and worked 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 and worked? Oh, that's my microphone, everyone, sorry. But then he was crabby when his brother came back. Which one is worthy of the father's love? Ben, what do you think? The young one. The old one. The old one, what do you say? The old one, what do you say? The young one or the old one?
The young one.
The young one. So we're pretty much tied up here. The young one, the old one. So I'm going to tell you about something that I found the other day in the store. Okay? I found this thing. Does anybody know what this is? Mr. Clean's Magic Eraser. And you know what the Magic Eraser does. Yeah, it wipes away all of the bad stuff that other erasers can't erase. And, like, let's say that you're calling for some crayon and you get a little bit on the table, right? And then you go and you get your magic eraser and you scrub, 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 and that spot becomes the cleanest spot on the table. Because it doesn't just remove the crayon, but it removes the other dirt too.
And the logo.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking about God and how God makes each of us new. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was like he took this magic eraser and he made us brand sparkling new, brand new. And so that each of us, regardless of the bad choices,
pin it here for us. All right, can we hear me better now? Oh, thank goodness. All right, let us pray. Almighty God, where there is mess, clean it up. Where there is tension and conflict and difference, make all things new. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Now, I remember the first time that I ever studied this text in an academic setting. I was in undergrad, and my professor at the time said, "Today we are going to learn about the lost chapter of the Bible." And the joke was lost on us because we didn't really get it. But if you turn to chapter 15 in Luke chapter 15, you have the parable of the lost sheep. You have the parable of the lost son. You have the parable of the dishonest manager. So it's all about these things that are lost and then found. And I thought that was pretty funny, so I thought I had to share. And then my studies went on, and so, you know, the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the father's love. By any name, it is probably one of Jesus' parables that when asked about it, we could all retell it by heart. And that's part of its challenge, because the second we hear there was a man who had two sons, our ears turn off and we assume we know the whole story. And I have always fallen into that same trap. That is, until I went on a winter retreat with our high schoolers. There was a group of our high schoolers that did a workshop, and they went and they were baking brownies. And I think purposefully, they weren't given all of the right tools that you would need to make brownies. The bowls were not the perfect Williams-Sonoma mixing bowls. They were slightly too small. And the spoons that they were given to mix the batter with, it wasn't, you know, a KitchenAid mixer. It was literally a spoon. And so, if you can imagine this, it was hard to escape the event without batter on your hands or on your clothes or in your hair. So after a little bit of cleanup, the brownies went into the oven, and the high schoolers sat down to study the prodigal son. And I can assure you, after the brownies came out, they were delicious. What was once messy was made new. So the camp staff asked the high schoolers about this story about the lost son. Two questions were asked. What is the messiest part of the story? And who is the messiest character? The ways in which I had always thought about Jesus' parable began to break open as I heard the conversation between the students. What is the messiest part of the story? Well, for me, it's obviously the part where the younger son is contemplating eating with the pigs. I think, oh my goodness, that has to be the messiest part. But then a second look at the story, when you're reading through line by line, you begin to see that maybe the whole thing is a little bit messy. It's a story about greed and family dysfunction and strained relationships and jealousy and resentment and adventure and selfishness and obedience. And the list goes on and on and on. Sounds a little bit about what our lives are sometimes tied up in. At least it sounds like it to me. All the messy parts included. Maybe that's why this parable is so beloved. Then the second question, who is the messiest character? Well, for me, I am an older sister. And so clearly it's the younger brother who is the messiest character. Yeah, he takes all of what is his and he takes it out and he spends it all being, you know, not very wise with his money. He does all this fun stuff. He goes off and he travels. I can tell you, growing up, my parents had some strict rules. I had to be in bed by 7, and I couldn't eat cereal with sugar in it. Mom wouldn't even keep it in the house. But when I came back after college, what did I find in the kitchen cupboard? Reese's Puffs cereal. The most sugary of them all for my younger brother. My goodness, can you believe it? So clearly, the younger brother squandering his inheritance is the messiest character. Or, by the example that I just played out for all of you, maybe it's the elder brother in the resentment that he holds against his brother, in his jealousy and bitterness, and his fear of being without. These brothers are set up in this story as exact opposites of each other. And I think that the story is designed this way for a reason. We are supposed to pit these siblings against one another. We're supposed to see that contrast between them and feel the tension within ourselves and how we view each other in our difference. The younger son travels to a distant land. The elder son remains at home. The younger son indicates he's no longer worthy to be called a son and asks to be made a servant. And the elder son describes himself as slaving away and receiving nothing. The younger son is dead and then alive, lost and then found, and the elder son is always with the father. The younger son is the guest of honor at the party, and the elder son learns about the party from a slave. The whole story tempts us into which is messier, which is more beloved. All the while, these differences are making the distance between the brothers farther and farther apart. And then we take a look at the father, and we start to see what Jesus' parable is all about. As the prodigal son returns, his father, while the son is still far off, sees him. He is filled with compassion. He runs and puts his arms around him. And again, the elder son stands outside of his brother's party, stewing. His father comes out to him and pleads with him too, saying, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours." One of the reasons why this parable is so beloved is because we're never just one of the characters. We're asked to look at the younger one and sit with the messes of our own making. And we're asked to look at the older brother, the elder son, who sits in his bitterness and jealousy and fear of being overlooked. And through it all, like the father, God crosses the threshold for all of us. We hear it each Sunday in the confession and forgiveness that it is through Jesus' death on the cross that we are being made new. As Paul states in 2 Corinthians this week, in Christ there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything is becoming new. Like the father in Jesus' parable, God has crossed the threshold for all of us. This yesterday, Saturday, there was a group of women of our congregation that walked over to the LDS church, the Mormon church that's right down the road, and we had a joint Woman in Faith event. We met together to see how we could both serve God, not through distancing ourselves from one another and pitting ourselves against each other, but deciding to work together, to learn, grow, and serve together. We made 25 blankets for the children at his house. His house is an acronym, Homeless Intervention Shelter and Home. It's founded by a church in Placentia, and over the course of the years that they've been open, they've offered transitional housing for over 2,000 families experiencing homelessness in Orange County. Right now, the home is home to 40 people with the goal of assisting each into a permanent living situation. These blankets that we made will go to the children who are currently living there. And each has a different design, so each child will have a blanket to call their home. This sort of coming together is what can happen when we trust that God is making all things new. Our women and the women of the LDS Church could have felt the tension in our differences. We could have pit ourselves against one another, choosing to point out the things that we disagree on. But instead, we chose to celebrate our calls as disciples of Jesus to serve those in need. We came together not despite our differences, but in spite of our differences. We looked at our similarities, sure, but we also looked at where we're different, recognizing faithfulness in all, and God working to make each of us new. It's not always that easy. Being made new means a death to self sometimes. Being made new looks like hard conversations between distant family members or people who believe or think differently than we do. Being made new looks like a divorce from a marriage that was hurtful. Being made new looks like recovery for an addict. And saying I'm sorry, and that being made new is not always linear. It's not a straight line. There are setbacks and twists and turns and pauses and restarts. However, like in Jesus' parable about the Father's love this morning, throughout the messes of our own lives and the tensions and conflicts between the us's and them's and those who are different than us, when we're tempted to distance ourselves from each other, when we're tempted to choose who's worthy and who's beloved by God, it is then that we look to the cross, regardless of the messiness in our lives. Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, God has crossed the threshold for us all, running with outstretched arms for those who return, and for those who have stayed near, he says to us all that is mine is yours. What was once a mess is now made new. Amen.